wonderful man.
You love him? Amen. You glad to be here? Amen. I was happy when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Blessed be his wonderful name. Our hearts go out to the Chacon and the Avila families for promotion of Sister Irene's dad. We know that God has everything under control, and we know that he's the author and giver of life, and that we all have an appointed time, and we don't know how it is that we're going to leave this world, but we do know that we will leave. And we're glad that we're going to leave, but it certainly, it's hard for those that remain, so we want to continue to ask for comfort and strength for those that are suffering right now, and also for the Lopez and Bresea family, the loss of Sister Shana's dad. And I haven't been here, so the Hawkes family for the loss of cousin Peter Zuniga, and there are others that have went on to be with the Lord as well, friends and different ones that you know. So we just ask for comfort and strength for each and every one, and we know that he's faithful, and he knows what we have need of, and he will provide, and so we're thankful for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. We would like to read a portion of Scripture this morning from Psalm chapter 23. I just think it's a timely thought here this morning, and we want to speak about enforcing the claims of God. Enforcing the claims of God. Psalm chapter 23, starting at the first verse. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me once in a while in my life. A few days of my life, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, as we stand here this morning, Lord, there's nothing good that we can bring. There's no good deed that has caught your attention. There's nothing that we've done that causes us to be worthy. But Lord, we're trusting in you. You're the author and the giver and the provider. You're everything, Lord. And so we're looking to you with a heart and a soul, Lord, filled with faith and trust and thanksgiving and love. And Lord, we just invite you once again to minister to each and every heart this morning, the portion of the word that we have need of. And you know, Lord, that we have needs this morning. Lord, as has already been mentioned, you've told us to ask that it may be given unto us, to knock that it shall be open, and to seek and we shall find. So, Lord, we're asking this morning for our portion, knowing, Lord, that it is your pleasure to give us these things. Lord, knowing that you've provided ahead of time whatever it is that we have need of to face the days that are ahead of us. We know that it's a scary time for some, Lord, that men's hearts are filled with fear, as the scripture said that they would be here in the end time. But Lord, there's a people on the face of the earth that are at peace, that are at rest, and not because of anything having to do with them, but because of the work that you've done, and Lord, because of the place that you've provided for them to find that rest, and that rest is in you. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd minister to each and every heart this morning, that's either here in the service or that is listening in or will listen in, and we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. Lord, we just pray for comfort and strength for all the loved ones that have passed over to the other side. And Lord, we pray for healing for those that are sick and afflicted, and we ask that you raise them up, Lord. You've paid the price for it, and we're here to collect this morning. Amen. Father, we just want to tell you once again how much we love you, and Amen. We thank you, and we appreciate you. We give you all praise and honor and glory now in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I'd also like to read from Psalm chapter 24 here for a moment, a couple of verses. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Here's the gate this morning. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. The Lord. Strong and mighty. The Lord. Mighty in battle. How many can say, I know that he's mighty in battle? Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And again, from Psalm chapter 27, the first verse, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Let me ask the church this morning, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Friends, as sons and daughters of Almighty God this morning, we have all been placed in a position in this life that the Lord has chosen to place us in. It wasn't our choosing, it's His choosing, and it is the right place. It's a tailor-made fit, like a hand in a glove, that are made one for another. And with that position comes God-given authority to walk in that position. It's not just for some people to walk in the position that God has called them to do. It is a position of His choosing, and He makes the rules, and He can do whatever He wants. And I won't argue with Him. Who can stand in His way? Who can resist Him? Who can hold back His plans? Who can stop Him? He wrote the entire drama of redemption. And He chose all the actors and actresses, all the parts. He made all the provisions ahead of time. And it's extremely important this morning, friends, that we as sons and daughters of Almighty God, that we know what our rights are. And that we know what has been given to us, what authority that we have. And we need to be sure that we are getting that understanding from God. And from God alone. And not from Satan. And not from anybody else. Thank God for the ministering gifts that He sent to the body. To bring the body to maturity. To bring the body to their position. To bring the body to the present truth, the living God. Thank God that most of us, thank God most of all for the gift of eternal life, which He alone can give. Now, each one of us are charged to make our calling and our election sure. And so we need to know who we are. And we need to know what belongs to us. And we need to know what our rights are as Christians. As citizens of the new kingdom. Now, friends, if we fail to recognize the authority that comes with our position in Christ, we will never exercise that authority. We'll sit around and say, well, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know that I had that authority. But we've been given authority by Christ. Each one of us has been given the authority to enforce the claims of God in our lives. Somebody has to enforce those claims. We see a movement across the country where we're not going to get into conspiracy theory. We're just going to talk about what we see and what is. There's a movement by some in our nation to eliminate those that enforce the laws. And what is taking place as a result? Rioting, break-ins, destruction, chaos, fear. And it's because those that have been placed there to enforce the laws are being told to stand down. The people that are doing these things are the same people that they were before the police were told to stand down. So it shows that just having them in their position, exercising that authority, kept these things from taking place. Somebody say praise the Lord. We know that the Old Testament and the New Testament both, they are full of claims that the Lord has made on our behalf for each and every one of us. The Old Testament declared what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would achieve when he come to the earth as the first of the God race, when he came to the earth in human flesh, as he came to the earth as our near kinsman. The Old Testament prophets made claims. It was the Spirit of the Lord anointing them. It was the word of the Lord coming through their lips. But those claims were made concerning what he would do and what he would fulfill. And guess what? He did and fulfilled everything that was said concerning him. Is that right? And Jesus personally instructs us in the New Testament on what we are entitled to as born again citizens of this new kingdom. And he tells us how to enforce these claims. And he tells us that these claims were made on our behalf. They foreran us, in other words. Friends, he fully paid the price for you and I this morning to walk in every one of those claims. Amen. There's none of those claims that have to go, that we leave on the table. Every one of those claims are backed up in this hour. But somebody has to make the claim. Calvary left nothing unpaid. He paid all the debts. Amen? So since all the debts were paid by the shedding of the Lamb's blood on Calvary, somebody has to collect on those claims now. But if there's nobody to enforce those claims here on the earth, then Satan and his angels, they will just go right on squatting on a land that doesn't belong to them. In a position that doesn't belong to them. With mock authority. They have no authority. Our near kinsman has made declarations on our behalf. He's made claims on our behalf. And the claims that he's made don't leave us with any gray areas. They're not maybe or could be or should be or if he feels like it. The claims are sure and the claims are right to the point. If oh my, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, don't doubt in your heart. If you believe it and you say it, it shall be done according to what you've said. If two or more agree concerning anything, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, they shall repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These are not maybes. These are not sort of. These are not it's possible. These are sure and right to the point. But somebody has to enforce these claims. John chapter 20 verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's just direct and right to the point, friends. Resist the devil and he might flee. Resist the devil and if he feels like it. Resist the devil and he shall flee. James 5:14. Is any sick amongst you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, all in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So friends, these claims, they are all made for the kingdom of heaven. And they are all made against the kingdom of the devil. But somebody has to stand up. Somebody has to stand up in the kingdom of heaven and enforce these claims. Praise the Lord. Somebody has to speak his word in this hour. Somebody has to line their confession up with what has already been said. There are two kingdoms, we understand, that are clashing on the earth right now. And we know that hell is spilling out into this dimension. And if we're not careful, that's where our focus will be. And we'll be going around with our lip dragging on the carpet, our heads hanging low, and going around in fear. We know that death is in the land. We know that the last plague that fell on Egypt before they were taken away in that first great Exodus was the death angel passing through the land. It's not physical death, but it's spiritual death that's passing through the land in this hour as people are turning from the Lord. So death is in the land. Hell is following after death, but heaven is also pouring out. Yeah, there's a great clash taking place, but there's more on our side than there is on the other side. We are living according to the law of contrasts. And it is important that we recognize what Satan's tactics are, what Satan is trying to do in our day. It's important that we also recognize what God is doing and what we are supposed to be doing. So if the prophecies concerning the false church, if the prophecies concerning the fallen ones in this age, the prophecies concerning Satan's work are coming to pass exactly as the word said, then what about the prophecies concerning the true church of the living God? God's not a loser, friends. He's a winner. And those that are subjects of his kingdom, they're on the winning side. So both kingdoms, they need flesh in order to manifest the kingdom here on the earth. So if Satan can get a hold of flesh, then how about God? Satan is an imitator, friends. What is God doing? What is our part in all of this? Who is on the Lord's side this morning? Who is the Lord using? What is the Lord doing? We as the body of Christ, the body that's on the earth right now that he's walking in, that he's inhabiting, we've been called and placed here in this hour to enforce heaven's claims. Somebody has to say, let it be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. Somebody has to back up heaven's claims. Somebody has to enforce what has already been accomplished and paid for at Calvary. Listen to this. In the restoration of the bride tree, and if Satan has robbed you of a privilege of being a son or daughter of God, we have a right this morning by the Holy Spirit to enforce the claim of God. Bring them back. If he's afflicted you and made you sick, we have a right before God to enforce the laws of God. By his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Amen. Bring him back. Turn him loose. You're taking him out yonder to death, and we can claim him. Bring him back. Friends, we've seen it happen time and time and time again. He says, now that's the enforcement. Restore it back to its natural condition again. If a man's sick, a baby's sick, a woman's sick, see, they're out of their natural condition, then we have a right to enforce our claim. He says, not our claim, it's our claim because God's given it to us. He made the claim, and it's on our behalf. Now it's our claim. By his stripes, we were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes, we were healed. He's already taken care of it. Now we have a right to enforce that law. And the lawgiver, the Holy Spirit himself, is here. The agent of God to see that it's done that way. We don't make it happen, but we stand with the authority. We say, stop in the name of the Lord. He's the agent of God to see that it's done that way. Amen. Now, the only way he can work is when you let him work. See, you got to believe it. We call ourselves believers. What do we believe? We believe him. We believe the word of God. Every bit of it, from cover to cover. So the first step is to recognize what rights we have as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And then we need to get out of our minds whether or not we feel like we deserve it. Or whether or not we're worthy of these exceeding great and precious promises, as Peter puts it. We need to settle those questions once and for all. And friends, those questions are not even relevant. What does you deserving it have to do with anything? Has nothing to do with it. The first citizen in this new kingdom is none other than the first of the God race, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he told us that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Through his death, he came to destroy him who held the power of death, even the devil. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
He conquered death at the cross, but he does not put death under his feet until the end of the last age, because death is now a vehicle working for his purposes to bring his children home. And he tells us that the works that I do, shall you do also. He said, I came and I did the works of my Father who sent me. Then he says, I'll do these very same works again in you, that my Father may be glorified again. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh my. Friends, God's word cannot fail. When he says shall, you can take that to the bank. It's not maybe, or it's not possible. It will be done. His word will not return into him void, but it'll accomplish the thing that he sent it to do. Is that right? So we need to fully recognize this morning that all the claims that were made 2,000 years ago are of no consequence unless there are those that are on the earth that are going to enforce those claims. You and I have been placed here on the earth to enforce the claims of Calvary. What a privilege, I say. How many can say that this morning? I am blessed and highly favored. What a privilege. You are the bedding ground this morning for the Word of God. Mary did not produce that seed. The seed came to Mary and she was the bedding ground. We might get excited about the thought of a visitation of an angel, but who has more authority here on the earth? An angel or a son or daughter of God? I'm here to tell you, a son or daughter of God. When a son is on the earth and he speaks, all heaven is listening, waiting to act. So is hell. And they're both waiting because they're powerless until the man speaks. Both are waiting for our declaration. Both are. So what's our confession in this day? That's why we don't want to go around, well, you know, I don't feel very good, and I'm this, and I'm that, and this ain't fair, and I'm just depressed, and I'm unhappy. Those things, you may be experiencing those symptoms, but it's not the truth.
Amen.
It'll become the truth if that becomes your confession. Satan will make sure that that happens in your life. But you need to recognize you weren't created to walk that way.
Amen.
You were created to have peace in the midst of your trials.
Amen.
You were created to have joy unspeakable, full of glory.
Amen.
In whatever situation that you're in this life. So they are both sides waiting for our confession. So I ask you this morning, what is your confession? What is coming from your lips? What are you speaking? Let me also ask you, what are you afraid of? Come on, church, help me out this morning. We need to get that fear out of the people. We need to get that fear as far away from us as we can. Amen. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our own spirit that we are the children of God. So if we are children of God, we should act like the children of God. And we should operate the authority that's been given to us according to His Word. We should be making the claims that He's already made on our behalf. Friends, there's such a rest that comes from knowing Him. Amen. And also knowing who you are. In the Psalms, David is prophesied. We've been through this before, but I just want to touch on it a little bit here this morning. Some of the prophecies in the Psalms concern Christ in his first coming in the form of the bridegroom. But some of them also are speaking of his coming in bride form. Some of the things that come out of David's mouth as he's prophesying the words that will come out of the lips of the bride. And they speak what is in our hearts today. For instance, Psalm 27, verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now this is the bride speaking. This is the words of the bride. Because he's the Lord. So this is what the bride's confession is. I shall not fear. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh. Now David fought against flesh and blood. He fought against physical powers and principalities. We fight not against flesh and blood, but spirits, powers, principalities from on high. We're battling against demons. Right. Amen. And these demons want to eat our flesh. You know, cancer, Ebola, whatever it might be. These demons want to devour our flesh. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Amen. That doesn't mean you weren't attacked. It means the attack wasn't successful. Because somebody stood and made the claim. Lord, these symptoms are on me, but by your stripes, I'm healed. Lord, you paid the price for my healing. I'm here to possess it this morning. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Oh, friends, there's wickedness all around us. Though war should rise up against me, in this shall I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. And in this hour, this is his temple. He's dwelling in a body, in a many-membered body. Amen. He's come in to sup with you and you with him. He has come in. He has made you the tabernacle. Know ye not, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into his temple. So this is your prayer. This is your desire because you are that temple. For in the time of trouble, we're entering into that time of trouble, friends. Of that, there's no question. There's no mystery about it. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. And guess where his pavilion is this morning? Right here. He's made you his tabernacle. And he's hiding you in him. He is, in that day, you shall know that I'm in the Father, that I'm in you, and you are in me. You are hidden in Christ. Amen. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. He's hidden you in the secret. And the secret is being made known. The secret is being made known. And you are the secret. He's hidden you in the secret. Yeah. Satan can't find you. He's placed you upon a rock. The rock is the revelation of his word. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The revelation of the word of God is your rock. Yeah. And your strong place. It's unmovable. It's unshakable. Man's word is falling left and right. You can't count on anything. Everything is falling. But God's word is sure. Yeah. God's word is true. So we need to stand in this hour, friends, against the adversary of fear. And fear not. Whom shall I fear? Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh my friends, we're walking through a fire in this hour that's seven times hotter in the seventh age. And Satan's trying to get us to bow our knee and worship him, but we won't do it. And these flames will not devour us. For there's a fourth man in the fire this morning. For I am the Lord thy God. Oh, I love that this morning, Brother Calvo. He's not just God. He's not just the Lord God, but he's the Lord thy God. And you have that confession this morning. No matter what comes, no matter what happens in your life, he's your Lord. He's your God. For I am the Lord thy God. I am the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. He's still the I am God this morning, friends. Yes, right. He is Jehovah Savior. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. He's our all in all. He's everything that we have need of this morning. Hallelujah. Romans 8, chapter 28. And we know, not we hope, and we know that a few things, if you're lucky, if you're a good boy, don't place it on your works, friends. You'll still need a Savior if you do. For we know that all things work together for good. Now notice, Paul is not saying here that all things are good. He's not saying everything that comes across your path is good. He says all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I love how he wraps this up. Then he says, okay, now you've heard these things. He says, now, what do you have to say about it? What's your confession? Let me tell you what the Word of God says. Let me tell you what belongs to you. Let me tell you what he's accomplished for you. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hope. Let that break on you just once, friends. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, God is the one that determines whether you're justified or not. Who shall lay anything? Well, I think this or I think that. God's the judge. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He's the one that determines whether you are just or not. How did he determine that you were just? He made you just. He paid the price, took away your sin. Now it's just as if you never did it. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Where's the accuser? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You're a quiet group this morning. Let's get in the spirit. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? No. COVID-19? No. The economy? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. The sword? No. Is that going to separate you from the love of God? No. Listen, friends, there's not a hair on your head that can be harmed There's not a hair on your head that the devil can touch without first going to God and asking for permission. You say, but Brother Baker, what about all the trials that... What about all the trials that I'm going through? What about all the tests that I'm going through? My question to you is, what about them? God has confidence in you this morning. He has confidence in what He's equipped you with, what He's given you the authority over. And He knows that there's a gene down on the inside of you that came from Him, that was quickened by the Holy Spirit when the living word of your day came across your path, woke you up, quickened you, when He brooded over you by His Holy Spirit, quickened you to eternal life. Friends, if we had half as much confidence in God's word today as He has in it, oh my, as He has in what He's placed in you. He's placed something in you. He hasn't left you defenseless. If we had half as much confidence in what He's placed in us as He does, there wouldn't be a sick one. There wouldn't be a problem when we left this building. Amen. What shall we then say? I don't want to hear it. Well, I don't want to hear it. Or as Brother Jewel would say, wowsy, wowsy, woo. I don't want to hear any of that. Now, friends, we all go through those things, but that's not our confession. What shall we then say? It's your turn to speak now. If we are the final voice, how will He be defeated? If we've been given His word and He's backing it up.
Amen.
Why should I feel sorry for you? If I'm going to feel sorry for you, the only sympathy that or pity that I'm going to have is that you don't recognize who you are. Amen. Recognize what belongs to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything that was in Christ has been given to us to use as needed. All that was in God was poured into Christ. All that was in Christ has now been poured into the church. But we must take it. And we must then enforce the claims on our behalf in our time of need. Again, in the message Victory Day, he says, now remember, God has counted you worthy when you have a test. Oh, I thought I was supposed to have a pity party. No, God says, no. You know, Satan came to the Lord one time and he says, this boy over here, Job, you just spoil him. You just give him everything and you've got a hedge about him. And, if you just let me at him once, I'll cause him to curse you to your face. I'll make him one of my converts. God says, well, you don't know what you're doing here, devil, but go ahead. But I'm going to put a limit on what you can do. You can't touch his life. You can't take that life, but you can take his family. You can take his job. You can have the church turn their back on him. You can take all of these things. You can take his health away from him. Right. And he won't curse me. Right. And we know that story. We know that Job's confession after everything was stripped away was the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What shall we then say this morning? It's your turn to speak. He says, now remember, God has counted you worthy when you have a test. Now, don't fail to get this. When you have a trial or a test, it shows. Amen. You know, the devil will come along and say, well, you must have done something wrong. Well, he did the same thing to Job. Are we going to learn from that? Well, what did you do wrong? Why were you born blind? So that God could be glorified.
Amen.
Don't fail to get this. When you have a trial or a test, it shows the grace of God has found you. You have found favor with God. Oh, glory. And God believes that you will stand the test. You think He'd give you a test thinking, well, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I hope it, you know. I don't know. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. The hour's getting late. If this doesn't work out, I got to go find somebody else. He knows, friends. He won't allow a test to come your way until you're prepared for it, until you're mature. Amen. He will not put more on you than you can bear. And He's equipped you, whether we recognize it or not. His word has declared that. It shows that you found favor with God. God believes that you will stand the test. Now remember, he did the same thing by Job. Satan said, oh yeah, I seen Job down there. And God said, well, he's a perfect servant. There's none in the earth like him. There's nobody like Job. He's a perfect man. Now, he's my pride and joy. And Satan said, oh, sure. He gets everything he asked for. Sure. Said, let me have him once. And said, I'll make him curse you to your very face. Said, I'll just make him curse you. God said, all right, he's in your hands. But don't you take his life. See, God had confidence in Job. Amen? When it looks like everything has gone wrong. How many's been there? How many might be there? When it looks like everything has gone wrong, God is giving you a trial. Oh, here's the part I really like. He's got confidence in you. Now, he's not got confidence in your flesh, of course, but he knows what's down on the inside because he put it there. He don't have to baby you around. You're not a hotbed plant, a hybrid. You're a real Christian. Well, if you don't give me a position, I ain't coming to church. Well, God's not going to give you a position. You got to do what you're supposed to do and show that you're worthy. You got to do that at work. Why would church be any different? Why would the body of Christ be different? He don't have to baby you around. You're not a hotbed plant, a hybrid. You're a real Christian. God has given you a test. To see what you'll do about it. Now, not to see because he's wondering, but to show what you're going to do about it. Amen. No wonder Peter said these fiery trials, why, count it a joy. It's more precious to you than gold. Oh, we don't enjoy it while we're going through it. But as we pass through the other side, we're stronger. We're more confident. God is more real. He's more personal. And we may not say, well, you know, I'd like to go through something like that again. But we are thankful for it. Because it's the only way that that's going to be brought out in our lives. Many times we hum and we ha. Oh, well, if I just, well, that, well. He says, that's something God give you to overcome. Amen. He knows that you'll do it. He put his trust in you. His trust is in his word that's hidden in your heart. He's written it in your heart. So friends, we need to get out of our minds this morning that we're just some backsliders that'll never amount to much, that we're just so flawed and, you know, some poor, pitiful, frail excuse of a life. We need to get those thoughts out of our minds. When that accuser comes around and talks to you like that, you need to remind him, listen, devil, you're not the one that justifies me. It's God that justifies me. And he says, I'm sinless, blameless. He paid the price for what I did, what I'm doing, what I will do. Amen. You need to tell him, you know what? I'm going to go talk to the Word and see if the Word accuses me like you're accusing me. What scripture was that now, devil? What chapter? What book? Where did God say that concerning me? Friends, we ought to only take what the Word says about it. So we need to take him to the Word and say, now, devil, just show me that. Amen? You need to remind him that, yes, I was worthy of death. But now that I think about it, devil, it's because of the mess you got me in. By making me subject to sin nature. But that guy that you're condemning this morning, he's dead. And you cannot try a man twice for the same crime. That's double jeopardy. And I am not the man that you say that I am. The one that you're talking about is dead. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am born again of God. Now you have to make this confession. The devil's not going to tell you, oh yeah, I see that you're a son of God. He's going to say, if thou be a son of God. I am born again of God. I am God's seed. His seed remaineth in me. I know that he's my father and I call him Father, Father. So, devil, let me get this straight. Are you trying to tell me that something that came from God could be sin?
No way.
Well, that part of me that I'm talking about this morning came from God.
Amen.
Now, you find fault in it, but that part of me that came from God was in Christ. And he was judged at Calvary, and they found no fault in him. I'm here this morning, devil, to enforce the claims that Jesus Christ made on my behalf at Calvary. Amen? I'm here to tell you this morning, devil, I cast you down. I cast down your reasoning. I cast down your imagination. I cast down your feelings, your thoughts, your memories. Anything that comes against the Word of God, I cast it down. And I'm going to take what the Word declares about me this morning over anything that you say about me. If I don't feel good, I'm still claiming that I'm healed. If I'm going through the greatest battle in my life, I'm still claiming that I'm victorious. If I look like hell is at every corner and pressure's on every side, my confession is I'm an overcomer. I'm overcoming by the word of my testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Your accuser tells you God doesn't hear your prayers. Does he ever say that? Friends, don't expect him to play fair. And don't expect him to tell the truth. He'll tell you, God doesn't hear your prayers. There's no need in you even going on. God's not hearing you. He still hasn't forgave you. He forgave me before I even got here. Your accuser tells you, God doesn't love you. But your accuser is cast down, friends. He cannot lay a charge against the elect of God. Now, he'll come to the battleground in your mind, but in the soul, we say, it is well. The scripture says, I would desire that you prosper in health, physically, even as your soul prospers. It is well. But friends, you need to be the one to confess this. It's got to come from your lips. We pray with you. We lay hands on you. We do what we can. Counsel, whatever. And we'll continue to do that. But you're the one that decides which way the battle will go. You're the one. Oh, people leave churches. They bounce around. Well, they let me down. And this one let me. Jesus will never let you down. Amen. And nobody can do for you what he's already done for you. It has to be your confession. Praise the Lord. So you have to, it has to come from your lips, and you have to take the authority that he's given to you. You don't belong to Satan this morning. Hallelujah. And guess what? You don't want to serve the devil. You don't want to do things that are wrong. You've been set free. Amen. You don't have to do those. You're not a slave to sin any longer. Amen. The victory is yours today. Amen. But you have to enforce it. You have to declare it. God has placed you where you're at this morning, and God is molding you, and God is shaping you by the pressures that are coming in your life. Every one of them is supposed to, it's tailor-made. And he knows your end. He says, I know the thoughts that I think of you. They're not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace. To give you an expected end. He knows your end. And he knows what it will take to get you to your end. Amen. God's image of you this morning, friends, is not of a weak-kneed crybaby. Not of somebody that has to have everything handed to him all the time. Now, we might have all started out with a pacifier in our mouths, physically and spiritually. And we might have had a time where we had to be petted and burped and fed. But at the end of our trials, we are mature. At the end of our trials, we are solid along the way. We are unmoving. We are unflinching. We are fearless in the face of every devil. Oh, don't be quiet here this morning, friends. Throw your confession. Don't observe me this morning. Join in. Get an attitude this morning. Say, yeah, you know, that's right. I'm an overcomer. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. God has something better for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are armed and dangerous this morning, but we have to recognize it. We've been given a razor sharp sword. There's no weapon formed that's more powerful than what we've been given this morning. We have been schooled. We are being schooled. We are being trained. And we are ready to do battle against every foe. And there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper. Look at our brother Caleb in the Old Testament, who's a type of the bride of Christ here in the end time. Caleb went over. He was told, go spy out the land, and then come back with a report. Moses had said what was in there. God had declared 400 years before that they were as the seed of Abraham, that they were going to possess that land, that it was a good land. They were told it was a land flowing with milk and honey, that they'd have their own possessions, and the land would produce like no other, and that God would be their God, and that he would fight their battles. All these promises. So the 10 spies plus Joshua and Caleb, they go over to look at the land, and 10 of them come back with a negative testimony. They ask them, is it a good land? Well, yeah. Well, they knew better than to contradict directly the words of the prophet, who's still on the scene, by the way. But then they said, nevertheless, there's giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, you know, which one of them went over and said, Mr. Giant, excuse me, how do we look in your sight? I don't think the giants ever saw them. Why? Because they had no intention of going down into the land. They just came to the border and looked over and said, a bunch of fanaticism. We can't take that. That's too much. You know, we're all just sinners saved by grace, and we're just no good. We're not fighters. We're not overcomers. We can't take... Look, the enemy's in our land. Here's what belongs to us, and sickness is coming. We can't face that. Come on, friends. But two came back with a different testimony. Two came back and said, you know what? We're more than able to take that land. Let's take it at once. God's already given it to us. Let's do what the prophet said. Let's take our possession. Let's run the giants out of the land. The Lord is mighty in battle, and he will fight our battles. Somebody has to be there to enforce it. Caleb was ready to do it. Joshua was ready to do it, to enforce the claims that had already been made on their behalf. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Listen, friends, before there can be a millennium, a 1,000-year reign, there first must be a restored people that are standing in their God-given positions, restored, and people that know how to rule and know how to reign, know how to take dominion over every power. When in the millennium, there'll be evil spirits. But in the millennium, they won't be able to operate. They'll be bound by chains of circumstance. The roles will be reversed. As Satan has ruled and reigned for thousands of years, now he's just squatting in a position that doesn't belong to him. But their sons and daughters of God have to take their position back. They have to first overcome this soil, this flesh. Amen? Have the victory. Otherwise, there will be no people to go into a millennium. Hallelujah. Because there's no finishing school when we leave here. We don't go over there, oh, okay, that's how you do it. No, we prove it on this side. Now we are the sons and daughters of God. But it took the fullness of the word being restored back, the same faith that they had in the beginning. It took the fullness of the word to be restored back into our hands to bring us back to that position. And the work of redemption, of course. So there's no finishing school. Whatever we are now, that's what will be on the other side. We are right now in the midst of one of the greatest battles, or the greatest battle that was ever fought. And of course, it's in the human mind. But our weapons of war are tried and true. And we are casting down anything and everything that's not the word. Anything that comes against the word. Feelings, imaginations. Well, I know he said this, but here's what he's doing, and here's what, you know, let people do what they're going to do.
Right.
If it turns out somebody's word is no good, that's on them.
Right.
Amen.
Our weapons of war are tried and true and tested and proven, and we're casting down anything that's not the word.
Amen.
Friends, we have his word, and we're growing and maturing to the place where we know what he wants done with it. Because we have the full word restored back to the body in this hour as he promised that it would be. We have a vision of the rapture. And we are anointed of the living word to take a body change.
Amen.
We have been called in this hour to no longer hinder those that are asleep. Because they did not have the fullness of the word. And he said, I have somewhat against thee. The title deed has been searched all the way back to the beginning. All the liens have been taken off of the title, and it's the fullness of the word coming back that empowers us this morning, friends. So we heard of an Elisha in the Old Testament that kept his eye on the Christ, the anointed one, on Elijah, not Jesus Christ, but the anointed one. He kept his eye on the anointed one, Elijah. And we've read where he asked for and received a double portion that was passed on him after he crossed over the River Jordan, which is a type of death to yourself and coming forth in newness of life. It's a type of the new birth. And we know that Elisha first had to cast away his old garments. That's your old man. That's your old nature. Dying out to yourself. Dying out to your own ideas. Being purged of the leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, being purged of all things that don't agree with the word of God. Listen, friends, the first Adam was told to take dominion over everything in the heavens and on the earth. And he ruled from heavenly places, but he fell from that position and lost access. The heavens were closed to him. Satan came and squatted in man's position. Man was the prince of the power of the air. Satan came and squatted in that position. So think about this. Adam lost his position because he failed to take dominion over the serpent. We often think that it was man who first got out of his position, but actually it was the serpent, anointed of the devil, that got out of his place first. But it was Adam's job to keep the serpent in his place. And we find instead that the serpent got to Eve. The serpent bit her, injected his poison into her, and death was the result. The second Adam came, the last Adam came, and cast that serpent down, Satan and his kingdom. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So death was actually defeated at the cross. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
We shouldn't fear death this morning, friends. And we shouldn't mourn as those that have no hope.
Amen.
Death was defeated at the cross. But death was not yet brought under his feet, but it would be one day. It has served its purpose and it will continue to serve until we come to the end. When the last bride member comes to her position and her place. You know, the body of Christ, the Christians, they don't die. They've just been taken away into a secret place.
Amen.
Waiting for the resurrection, waiting for the rapture. And we are getting closer and closer and closer to our blending with our theophany.
Amen.
And then our body change. But only the word can inhabit that theophany.
Yes.
So we're being purged. We have to go on a diet.
Amen.
You know, we hear all about diets in this hour. Well, we're all on a diet, right? The diet that we're on this morning is 1 Corinthians 5, being purged of the old leaven, the old ideas. We, as Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 through 20, we are repenting zealously of unbelief, of wrong ideas.
Amen.
We were wrong, but we didn't know we were wrong. But the word has been brought back to us. And so in order to receive that word, we have to do away with our denominational ideas, with our humanistic ideas, with the ideas of man, in order to take the word of God.
Amen.
So only the word can inhabit that theophany body, that body that's waiting for us. Paul said we have, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting for us. We can't bring anything with us that is not the word. We can't bring reasoning, imagination, false teaching, false ideas. Won't go in that theophany. So I'm looking at a people this morning that are going to look death in the face. And they're going to say, because Paul said, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not hinder those that are asleep. Right? There are people that are on the face of the earth that will not taste death.
Amen.
As everyone else has throughout the ages. The end time people will not face death. Not in the traditional sense. Oh, this earthly tabernacle will fall off. We'll step into that glorified body, or step into that theophany and then be glorified. Right? So there's a people on the face of the earth that has to recognize the place that they're being brought back to. If death is being brought under our feet, the feet of the bride body of Jesus Christ, then every other devil, death is what everybody fears. Death is you know, the greatest enemy people think. Well, if death has been brought under your feet, every other devil is under your feet. Every other devil has been brought subject. So if you're just the big toe on the bottom of the foot, Every devil is underneath you.
Amen.
Underneath the body of Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I want you to know this morning that there's an army that's raising up.
Amen.
There's an army that's taking God's word. They are taking their full inheritance. Not a partial inheritance that they've taken throughout the ages. They're taking their full inheritance as they did in the beginning, before the church fell. They're taking their full inheritance and they are slaying devils.
Amen.
On every side. They are casting down anything that exalts itself against the word of God. They are overcoming in Satan's Eden. They are taking back everything that belongs. Friends, it's already been purchased. It's not a matter of us buying something. It's not a matter of us striving for something. It's a matter of us taking possession of what already belongs to us. Walking in our full inheritance. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 9 speaks about a mighty angel that falls. We know that that's Lucifer himself. He's called Apollyon in the scripture. We know that Michael and Lucifer are locked in a great battle, in great combat. And we know that Revelation chapter 10 says, and I saw another mighty angel. This one doesn't fall, this one descends.
Amen.
Amen. The same one that Paul prophesies. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. So in Revelation chapter 9, if you want to read it, the one that was kicked out of heaven was given the keys to the bottomless pit. And he sticks those keys in and he opens up the door to hell. And we know that hell's spilling out into this dimension. We see it on every side. We see fear. Men's hearts are failing for fear. We see wickedness on every side. We see the love of many waxing cold. We see unnatural affections. We see truce breakers incontinent, accusers of those that are good. We see the fulfillment of all of this. The lid from hell has been lifted up, and hell, like smoke, is spilling into this dimension. But at the same time, I saw another mighty angel descend from heaven with a rainbow over his head, with an open book, a little open book. So death and hell are spilling into this dimension. That's why there's so much pressure. Death and hell are spilling in, but so is life. 200,000 ecclesiastical devils in Revelation chapter 9 were released from the river Euphrates. And they drove natural Israel back in the 40s, drove natural Israel into her homeland. Right? Those same devils now, ecclesiastical devils, religious devils, the worst kind, they say, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, mind your own business, and knoweth it not that they're wretched, poor, blind, naked. These demons now are coming against the spiritual Israel. They're coming against the church of the living God. And what are they trying to do? They drove natural Israel into her natural homeland. And when Israel was in her homeland, Israel couldn't be defeated. Right? Now they are driving spiritual Israel, the bride of Jesus Christ, back into her homeland, which is the fullness of the word. And when we're in our land taking possession, what can come against you? Of whom shall I fear? Thousand ecclesiastical devils. That's 200 million. We are coming into our positions and we're taking our place as a restored people by the restored word. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
And we are an overcoming people, not a people that are being overcome, but a people that are overcoming.
Amen.
And we are overcoming in Satan's garden of science and education. It's the tree of good, of the knowledge of good and evil. You get good, you get evil. You can't have one without the other. But we're partaking of another tree.
Amen.
We're partaking of the tree of life.
Amen.
Some would say this morning, shh, Brother Baker, if you keep talking like that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to make the devil mad. And then he's going to get after us. You ever heard that? I just want to tell you this morning, I want him to hear what I have to say.
Amen.
Well, some of you are with me and some are, I want him to hear what we have to say as we stand on the word of God. Because he cannot defeat that word. Now, friends, if I'm saying I think or I believe in blood moons and this and that and the other, I got reason to be nervous. But if I'm standing on that rock that he's placed me on, whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? No weapon formed against me can prosper. He's placed me upon the unfailing, unmovable, unshakable word of God. And that word will defeat the devil anytime. It will defeat the devil any place, and it'll defeat the devil under any circumstance. But somebody, it has to break on somebody. Somebody has to wake up from that. The firstborn, the resurrection taking place. Amen. Coming forth from the dead, being quickened inside by the Spirit of God. As a new creature, somebody has to, it has to dawn on you. You know what? I'm an overcomer. You know what? I don't need to pray heaven down. Heaven is here. Hell is here, but so is heaven. Darkness is on every side. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Though the enemy comes to eat my flesh, he shall fall back. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my fortress, my strong tower. Look, I feel for you, for the tailor-made trial that you're going through. But you're an overcomer. What you're going through is not something that you're not going to overcome. You shall overcome it. You will go through it. But it won't be because I felt for you. But it'll be because he's provided his word for you. And you'll be stronger. You'll come into your position, into your place. And the devil will never be able to use that on you again. Because you'll look at the devil and say, you know what, devil, we've been through this. You've been defeated. You know what, once he's been defeated, he won't come back to you with the same thing. Why would he? Because he knows you're going to just smack him down. He doesn't come to you, he doesn't attack your strength. He comes against your weakness.
Amen.
But guess what? Your weakness is His strength. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. We look at it, we say, I'm defenseless, I'm helpless, and I can't take this, and it's too much. All of that may be true, but His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now I'm ready to have church. Somebody's got to say, you know what, I believe this. I'm taking God at His word. I'm going to quit testifying of what the devil's doing. Oh, he is doing all that stuff, but why do you want to talk about it? How's it helping you? Let's talk about what God is doing. Because the devil's just a perverter and an imitator. If he's doing anything, it's only because God's doing something. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not supposed to tempt the devil. You guys ever heard that? What scripture is that? What book? Where does it say in the Bible, don't tempt the devil? It doesn't. What does it say? Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Right? Listen, friends. Oh, here's another one that I've heard over and over. Don't you pick a fight with the devil. Too late. But I didn't pick the fight. I was born into a fight. And the fight came to me. Right? And I've been promised and told that we will overcome him and his angels. The word has already declared our end. It's not a mysterious end. It's an expected end. And I'm not looking for a fight. The Lord knows. I ran from fights when I was a kid. You know, you say, well, aren't you ashamed to admit that? You can't help how you're born. Right. There's what they call the fight or flight, right? Some people, they get pressed against the wall, they fight. Some people get pressed against the wall, they flight. They run, right? I'm a runner. But not when it comes to the Word of God. Right. I'm a runner by who I am in the natural, but spiritually, I won't run from the word. I won't run from a battle, because we've been given the word.
Amen.
And it's not me that's going to make it happen. I've just been called to enforce, to say, you know what, devil? Leave my sister. Leave my brother. Cancer, leave. Go back to the pits of hell where you came from. It's our job to enforce that. So we're not picking a fight with the devil. We're in a fight with the devil. And we shall overcome him and his angels. Because the word has already declared it. We're not looking for a fight because we don't have to. The battle is already upon us. We're not battling against flesh and blood. But we are battling against spirits and powers and principalities from on high. Which are being cast down, by the way. So we've got some choices here this morning, friends. We can either sit down, put down our sword, and refuse to fight. Say, well, I'm a Christian. Christians don't fight. Show me that in the Word. And if you do that, you'll get stomped to death. You'll get dragged through every wicked and evil thing if you put down your sword. Or we can say, okay, well, I'll hold the sword, and I'll use it to just kind of defend myself and kind of parry the blows of the enemy when they come my way. And then I'll spend my entire time here on the earth defending myself. Friends, you don't have to defend yourself. The Word defends you. The Word is your defense. Or we can take that very same Word in a strong arm of faith. Faith that knows where you're standing. Faith that comes from standing upon a rock. And with that sword in our hand, we know that this sword has been proven. We know that this sword has been tested. It's been through many, many battles, many skirmishes.
Satan was defeated by Jesus three times by the word and by the word only, showing us how we defeat the enemy. We need to take that word, thrust it into the hearts of our enemies until they give way to the word. Stand there without budging. Say, well, devil, one of us is going to blink and it ain't going to be me. Do you ever play that game when you're kids? Stare one another down and, you know, whoever blinks first is the weak one, I guess. Or... We're standing on the unmovable, unshakable word of God. Amen. Amen. And the sword is in your hand. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, upon thy lips. We are here to enforce his claims. Not my claims, his claims. Amen. Amen. And by doing that, that results in an end of an overcomer. Which would you rather have? Would you rather lay down your sword, be stomped to death? Would you rather parry with the devil? Or do you want to be an overcomer? Yes. So we can tell the devil this morning, you know what, devil? This is my property. But you know, I understand if you don't want to leave. I'm politically correct, and I'm just going to talk nonsense left and right. And I'm going to say a boy is a girl if he feels like it, and vice versa, and that an unborn child is not a life, even though its heart's beating. And so you know what, devil? Let's just do as we please. You do what you want to do. I'll do what I want to do. You stay on your side of the room. We'll just draw a line down the middle of the room. You stay on your side. I'll stay on my side. Live and let live. How's that working out? How's it working out for natural Israel? We'll give land for peace. You give the devil land, he'll take your peace. Or we can tell the devil, you know what? Here's a peace agreement. If you break your end of the agreement, I'm going to defend myself. Or you can say, you know what, devil? Here's your eviction notice. Now, devil, we could do this the easy way or the hard way. But either way, you're moving off my property. I don't want to hear your sob stories. I know that you are feeling bad because your end is the lake of fire. But you made your choice. Now I'm making mine. Get off my property. I don't care how many mouths you got to feed. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care how familiar we are. I'm not going down memory lane. Get off my land. You know what, devil? I'm going to burn down your home. You know how you do that? Get rid of, cast down those memories and reasoning and feelings. And that old guy's dead. Don't go there no more. Burn it down. Burn down, you know, Satan has things that he attacks us because of the way that we're made in the flesh. You need to cover those places up. Amen. Don't give him anything to feed on. Amen. Don't give him a place in your life to feed. Amen. Don't let him drink a little bit of alcohol here and take a few drugs there and run off and do this and run off and do that. And then come and ask your pastor to pray for you because you don't have victory in your life. You let down your guard. Oh, but I got it so hard. You don't know who's on your side. You're letting the devil take away your weapon. And it won't stop there, friends. What you need to do is tell the devil, you know what? I'm going to burn down your home. I'm going to burn down the home that you had on my land. And I'm going to burn up your crops so you have nothing to feed on. I'm going to scorch the earth so that there's nothing. If you try to stay on my land, there's nothing for you to feed on. And then I'm going to fight you. And I'm going to fight all of your buddies. Everything that's on my land is leaving. And I, you know what? If we got to have a stare down, we'll have one. I'm going to leave nothing familiar to you or your devils on my land for you to use against me. Amen. It is the Lord that justifies. Amen. So let's just settle this morning, devil. Once and for all, we're through. Amen. You might have had influence on me before. You did. I might have been your slave, but devil, we're through. Amen. I've found myself in the volume of the book. I've found my name. I've found my place. I've found my position. I've found the claims that have been made on my behalf. And I'm here, devil, to enforce these claims. I'm here to tell you, move off my land. What's the theme of the message, friends? Only doubt, worry, fear. Only disbelieve. Our part this morning is to take that word into a believing heart. Right? And we have been actually given the simple part of this union. Our part is to take that word into a believing heart. But what we try to do is the supernatural part. We try to make that word come to pass. It's not by might. It's not by the will of man, the might of man. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So our part is to hold on to it and say, I believe.
Amen.
So why don't we just do the part that's been given to us and let the word do its part? The word will do it.
Right.
It will not return an void. It'll accomplish that. Why do we struggle? So, you know, when I, friends, please, I'm not picking on anybody, but this is instructive. This is helpful. When I see people agonizing over loved ones, you know, the loved one does this and that and the other, you're in a battle. And you need to stay there and slug it out until you get up with the confession by faith that God has given you the victory and that your loved one is going to be there somehow.
Amen.
That the situation is going to turn around.
Right.
You won't make that confession until you believe it.
Right.
And you won't believe it until you take God at his word.
Right.
It has to become your confession.
Amen.
Well, I'm struggling to believe it. Confess it anyway.
Right.
Confess it until you do believe it. What good does it do to talk about what you see? What you see isn't real anyway. It's not what the word declared. And where would be the battle if it was just a no-brainer? You grow from it. You get stronger. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, of course, we feel for everybody, ourselves included, when we go through things. But our confidence is in him.
Amen.
It's not hopeless.
Amen.
We've been given a promise, friends, that our enemy will be destroyed.
Yes.
Satan and his angels' expected end is total destruction.
Amen.
Satan will be cast down. He will end up in the lake of fire one day. But only the word will defeat him.
Amen.
You cannot defeat him with reasoning. You cannot defeat him with intellect. And I'm sorry, but I don't care how deep your feelings are. The devil just laughs at him. You cannot defeat him with mind over matter. You cannot. There's only one weapon that will defeat your enemy. And that's the word of God.
Amen.
I'll pull over here in just a moment. Expectations. He says, may the devil be defeated in our lives. And we know that he is defeated because he is the defeated being. And Satan, I turn to you now to say this, that you are defeated.
Amen.
You're not afraid of us, but you are afraid of the one that we're speaking about. You have lost every bit of power that you ever had. You were defeated at Calvary. Jesus Christ, God's Son, triumphed over every enemy. He conquered all sickness, all death, hell and the grave, and he conquered every victory that you have ever had, and you're nothing but a bluff. You're nothing but a bluff. He's just lying to you, friends. He knows that he's defeated, but he doesn't want you to know that. He's the schoolyard bully that you need to stand up to. You're nothing but a bluff, and we're calling your bluff tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn these people loose. They're fully following and expecting to be healed. The power of God is present. believers with their hands laid on one another? Somebody has to stand up and say, you know what, I'm taking this, claiming it, I'm standing on it. Let it be done on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Somebody needs to speak it out in this hour. The claims that have already been made on our behalf. We don't even have to imagine what to speak. It's already been written. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded. I love this. I love this positive confession. This is what we need this morning, friends. If you're not persuaded, get persuaded. Amen. Quit listening to the devil. Listen to what the Lord is telling you this morning. Let it be personal. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things in my future, things to come, things that are to be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who can separate you? Oh, I know you think this is just a motivational speech. Well, I hope you're motivated, but it's a whole lot more than that. This is God's covenant with his family. God has placed deity in his family, a piece of himself in his family. And when God looks at a born-again son or daughter of God, a child of God, he doesn't see all the mistakes. He doesn't see all the frailties. For that is all under his blood. Let's leave it there, friends. He says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He's not looking at the flesh. This flesh will perish. But he's looking at the blood veil. Now, friends, you and I, we look at the odds. And we think to ourselves sometimes, maybe, it's just too impossible. I can never be what he says I am already. But you know what? You've already survived one in a million once. Look at what God has already done just to get you here to the earth. And what part did you have to play in that exactly? What effort did you put forth to make sure that that happened? How did you bring yourself into this world? It's God.
Amen.
How is it that the enemy is able to erase that miracle? You've already experienced one miracle. There were a million male germs, as Brother Branham calls it, that went towards that egg. But one of them made it.
Yeah.
Or two if you're twins. But your twin isn't you, so that's one in a million. Now, were you kicking your feet real hard and, you know, holding your breath and saying, we must do this. We must exercise. We must pace ourselves. This is real. What did you have to do with it? How did you get here? You're a miracle. You played no part in that. Well, how about the grace of God now that pulled some of us out of bar rooms, dance floors, creeds of man, prison houses of addictions, affliction and depression? How about us? Some of us without God would still be lost. Or go to premature graves, except for the grace of God. But because of that gene that he placed down on the inside of you, he came looking for you one day. He said, that isn't true. The Bible says so. No man comes to the Father except he first draws. Amen. Amen. You might have been buried so deep in sin that you couldn't even imagine ever being amounting to anything. Maybe you were totally unrecognizable for who you really are. But God, who's rich in mercy, he went down every alley. He left no stone unturned. He didn't care how far he had to stoop. He scoured the face of the earth knowing he had another son, another daughter to bring his children. All the Father has given me will come. I won't lose one. Where would we be today if he didn't come looking for us? Which one of you thinks that you found God? You never did. He found you. So where would we be this morning? Has our enemy caused us to forget what God has already done for us in our lives? How can we get discouraged or depressed? Look at what he's already done. You might have run from God. You might have dragged your feet. But God knows how to get a hold of your life. Amen. Some of us had to end up on our backs in a hospital bed. Whatever it takes. God knows how to do it. Don't try to be somebody's savior, friends. Let God do it. Amen. Have confidence that the same one that got you can get them. God has dads and moms that didn't give up on their children, but put them in the hands of God and held out for them. Doesn't mean they compromised, but they held out for them. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a youth leader, a pastor, or a lay worker. Somebody was praying for you. Think about it, friends. Oh. I hear a cross going down a road, a cobblestone road, dragging, and it's making a sound. Bump, bitty bump, bitty bump, bitty bump. There's a man bearing that cross that's unrecognizable. He's beat to a pulp. Blood is everywhere. His garment is stained with blood. He's beaten so badly that I can't even make out his face. And the blood stains on his back are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But he's not going to quit. Why? Because he knew that you and I were going to need healing. He was purchasing it with every stripe that went on his back. He was paying for it. He didn't have to die for it. He was paying for it by the stripes that he took in his body, by his own body being robbed of health. He was paying for your healing. He knew that you would need it, so he didn't complain. He knew that I would be lost. He knew that I would be undone, and I wouldn't be able to find my way back. He knew that I would reach a place where I knew that I had no purpose in life. Nothing to live for. And no confidence in others to do right. He knew that I would be in that situation. He knew what I would have need of. And he knew what he was purchasing for me on that day. And he knew I couldn't afford to pay it. And that there was no works that I could do. He knew that he wasn't worried whether or not I would accept what he was purchasing. He was paying for something that he knew that I would accept. That's where you need to get when you pray for your loved ones. You need to have confidence that your prayer will be answered. It may be before the throne is a sweet incense, You may pass off the scene. You may never see it fulfilled in, while you're here on earth, but you've been given a promise.
Amen.
He wasn't worried about whether or not I would accept it. He was paying the price for it, and he knew what he was doing was not in vain.
Amen.
He knew that one day Father would call, because he made a way for my father and I to be reconciled together once again. He was the one that stood in the gap. He knew that when he called, I would answer. And he knew that his shed blood on the cross would make a bridge for me to crawl back into my father's arms. And he knew the power of his blood. He knew that that blood would wash away every stain in my life, every blemish. And he knew that it would bring me back to sonship. And he knew that it would do for me what I could never do on my own. Now you tell me, why would he do that for me? And then he tells me, I have a right to call on Isaiah 53 when demons come to attack my flesh. And he tells me, I have nothing to fear. And he tells me, not even death, don't fear death. And he tells me, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is this life is just a shadow, that I should not fear evil, that I need not fear evil. You know, he walked over to Lazarus's grave one day. I'll pull over here in just a moment. He walked over to his grave. And they told him, you know what? If you hadn't have been off at these special meetings, you know, we don't think that you should have been doing this and that. You're our pastor, and, you know, here's what we think. And you messed up. If you hadn't have been here, Lazarus would still be alive. If you'd only been here sooner. Do we do that to God? But Jesus had already said, I'm going to wake him. I want you to know, friends, that with God, nothing's out of control. I don't care what the situation looks like. I don't care how hopeless the devil paints the picture. He's an on-time God. We're the ones that hear the doctors, and then we worry. And we fret. And we fear evil. Heart disease. We hear that word. Panic sets in. Cancer. Diabetes. Nervous disorders. You'll never walk again. Did you hear what that doctor said? But God has already made a claim, friends. And you have a right this morning to enforce that claim. And you have a right to tell that doctor, I appreciate you, doc, but I don't accept that. Oh, he might laugh at you. He might scorn you. Others might as well. But you say to that doctor, doctor, you're a good, decent man or woman. And I know that you care about me. I know. And I know that you can prove to me by science and by your instruments that there's something in my body. I know you can do that. And I know you've said this before. And it has always come to pass regarding everyone that you've ever said it about. But I want you to know, with all due respect, it's different this time. You see, my father told me that I don't have to accept these things in my life. He said the price has already been paid so that I can be free of this. I'm not denying the attack, Doc. But I'm denying that I have to accept it. You see, my Redeemer looked down through time. And he saw that I would be in this condition today, Doc. And he said, by my stripes, you are healed. So, doctor, I don't deny that your instruments can detect that I'm in a battle right now. But your instruments don't know my future. And they don't know the power of the living God in my life. Your instruments cannot find God in my life. So I say to you, Doc, I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I refuse to bow to this demon of sickness. And instead, I confess Jesus Christ as my healer. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord, as my deliverer. And I know, Doc, that he hears me right now. And I know that right now, even as I'm saying this, he's going to work on my behalf. And I'm going to get well because I'm enforcing his claim. Friends, there's still power in the blood of the Lamb this morning. We need to enforce the claims of God. We need to take God at his word, and we need our testimony to be yay, yay, or keep it shut. We need to either say what the word says or keep our mouths shut. You might be going through the worst battle of your life right now. And we all feel for you. And we may not know anything about the battle that you're going through. But he has given you the victory. And we will unite with you in prayer if need be. But what we're trying to do, it's actually worthless for us to unite with you in prayer if you aren't believing.
Right.
You have to believe.
Right.
We're joining our faith with yours. God's not looking for fine speech this morning, friends. You say, well, I can't this, that, the other. Who cares? It's not based on you. It's based on him.
Amen.
He's not looking for fine speech. He's not looking for fine clothes. He's not looking for fancy homes, fancy backgrounds. God is responding to those that are enforcing his word in this hour, that are taking him at his word. And his spirit goes with that word to bring it to pass. But there has to be somebody to speak his word from a faith-filled heart. I wonder if there's anyone like that in the building tonight, this morning. The moment that you call out in faith what the word has declared, he hears you. And help is on its way. But there's a battle that's going on in that other dimension. There might be legions of evil spirits that are trying to block off your aid. But help is on the way. Friends, many times, you know, something will come in and, you know, some certain kind of sickness or whatever. And you pray and somebody's delivered and you can hear it crying out. It's other parts of the body. The enemy comes in like a flood. But God raises up a standard. Daniel waited 21 days from the moment that he prayed. But he was told, from the moment that you prayed, Daniel, help was on the way. But he had to hold that confession. Is that right? God hears your prayers, friends. He said so. Listen, he's your God today. He's not mom's God. He's not dad's God or grandma or grandpa. That's all fine. Not pastor's God. He's your God.
Right.
So whatever your situation is, friends, I challenge you. Just call out to him.
Amen.
Because he's the only one that's worthy.
Right.
And he is the worthy one.
Yes.
And he's waiting as your high priest to act upon your confession. You have the right to call him on the scene this morning. You have the right to operate a simple act of faith and enforce your rights.
Amen.
Can you imagine this morning just how much the Father wants to act on your behalf? We let the devil steal us blind sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time that we go through where we're living at. I think it's time that we take inventory of what's in our lives.
Right.
Maybe there's some things that are missing.
Yep.
If we can't remember all that we once had, friends, we need to go back to the will, which is His Word, and see what belongs to us. And when we find that something's missing that He'd given us, that we were possessing, we need to file a report. Sure. We need to describe in detail. Nobody likes paperwork, but in every detail, we need to describe what was taken and report it stolen. And then we need to send the Holy Spirit out to recover our stolen goods. To take back what belongs to us. The land is ours. The inheritance is ours. The price has been paid. But somebody has to take it. Somebody has to take possession. Somebody has to say, this is mine. Somebody has to say, you know what? And here's the problem. So much of the time. Somebody needs to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Somebody needs to say, you know what? I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of the devil putting me through this. I'm tired of facing this day in and day out. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm driving a stake down in the ground. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm taking what belongs to me. You know what that devil does? You know what belongs to you. Does joy belong to you? Peace? Happiness? Sure it does. But we allow the devil to rob us of it. And then he'll come along and say, well, you know, how about some Schlitz malt liquor? Or how about a little bit of Jack Daniels or, I don't know, whatever. Right? What's he doing? He's saying, here's some temporary peace for you.
Yeah.
Right? Things will be better.
Yeah.
Right? But he's a liar. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, just you hear on the radio about some drug that, you know, and everybody's floating through the air and it's just, oh, it's so lovely. Everybody's just so happy because there's this new drug that, you know, fixes this or that. And then you hear them speaking 100 million miles an hour. You know, and some people it causes death, and don't do it if you're suicidal, and don't do it, you know, it'll cause a heart attack. And you hear all this stuff, and you're like, ah! And we know that God has gifted men, and, you know, that there are some things that will help to aid in the healing. God's the healer, and we're thankful for it, but there's a better way, right? So the devil will come along and say, you know, you deserve a break, and you know, it's so hard, and you know, your wife is not with you, and you know, there's something between you, and she's drinking. So, you know, maybe if you just drank with her, you'll kind of win her over, or your husband, or whatever it might be. Right? That's the devil talking to you, right? Offering you a different solution that's not in the Word, right? You do that, you're going to pay a price for it. Right? And it don't satisfy. And you'll get to the place where you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Where you got to get fed up. Boy, is it getting quiet here this morning? Well, how about those Cardinals? Let's talk about sports, right? It's rubber hits the road.
Right?
You have to get to the place where you say, you know what? I'm tired of living below my privileges. God has something better for me. And I'm going to take what belongs to me. You'll have to fight for it. Right? There'll be a battle. But you're the one that has to take it. You're the one that has to decide. This is how it's going to be. Don't let the devil call the shots in your life. Don't let him tell you what is and what isn't. You tell the devil, you have the Word of God. Here's what the Word of God says. Now you have a choice. You can walk in that or you can play the victim. Let's don't do that, friends. Let's don't play the victim. You're not a victim. Wow. Guess there's a whole other sermon there. You're not a victim. Why should I feel sorry for an overcomer? Why should I feel sorry for a son or daughter of God that has eternal life? That's going to live forever. That's going to put your tormentor in the lake of fire. It's going to rule and reign, sit with him in his throne. Why should I feel sorry for joint heirs with Jesus? Citizens of the kingdom of God, sons and daughters of God. Sure, friends. Sure, we feel for one another by the things that we go through. Sure, we do. But there's a fine line there. It's a balance beam. You're feeling for the person. Of course you do. But not to the point where that's all you're focusing on. Right? Well, yeah, nobody has it as bad as you. Yeah. Yours is the worst. Here's a pistol. Just do it. Nobody's ever had it as bad as you. Just off yourself. It is that bad. And there's no hope. You want to give it to him? You don't need to hear that. That's a lie of the devil. Take that thing and point it at the devil instead. Yeah. Say, devil, get off my ground. Yeah. We're done. We're not living this way. Maybe you're prone to nervousness. We're living in a nervous age. Maybe you're prone to, you know, letting your feelings kind of overcome you. And maybe your feelings kind of dwell on dark things. Can't help how you're made up. But you can help what you dwell on. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be depressed. You're not without hope. But you're the one that has to enforce this. You're the one that has to declare, you know what? I'm taking possession of what belongs to me. Amen. God's given you a marriage. He told you that that was the right one. Through thick or thin, you just hold right on. You tell the devil when you get into situations where you're going through a rough patch, you just tell the devil, we're getting through this. Amen? Oh, we just go on and on and on and on, friends. Somebody has to enforce the claims of God. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Somebody has to take him at his word. We're going to listen to somebody. We're going to... You know, with this pandemic, it's been a real eye-opener for me. I'm sure it has been for all of us in one way or another. But to me, it's so amazing how people can have polarized views of reality, of what's taking place. Some say it's a hoax. Some say it's a conspiracy theory, you know, that so that they can put some kind of a chip in you, you know, and they're giving you a vaccine, but there's a little chip that goes in there, and you just took the mark of the beast, and, right? Some live in fear. Here's one of my personal favorites. Some say, you know, a mask doesn't do any good. There's no point in wearing a mask. Okay, when you go into the hospital for surgery, do you mind if I tell the doctor, don't wear a mask? It's not going to do any good. There's no point. You know, just go ahead and let your germs get inside. Right? Oh, no, I want the doctor to wear a mask. Oh, so it does do something then. People are so quick to believe. And you know what? I'm supposed to be closing, right? What amazes me is that people believe out of ignorance. And then they'll come back to you and say, well, what are we supposed to believe? Well, how about facts? How about truth? And I say that because the Word of God is the same way. Here we've got everybody saying, you know, we've got hundreds and hundreds of different descriptions of what belongs to us in this hour, what a Christian is, who Christ is, what belongs to us, all these different descriptions, but there's only one that's right. And that's the one that the Word declares. So we can be polarized. We can have this camp over here and that camp over here and that camp over there. But who cares? What we want is the truth. And we want to line our confession up with what is real and what is true. Newsflash, this pandemic is real. People are dying. We now know people that have died, right? It's dipped down here in Arizona now, so some people are going to relax. Some people are going to say, well, you know, now it's safe to travel, this, that, and the other. It's not gone. What's taken place is that it's spread and it's infected people. And those that have had it and have recovered that are immune to it, they aren't going to spread it. So it's a little harder for you to get it now. But it's not gone. Right? So you have to be diligent without fear. In fact, we've been given wisdom. Right? We know what to do. And we're trusting in the Lord. Regardless, but we don't want to be foolish. We want to do what we know to do, right? And we are going to get through this. We'll get to the other side. But now's not the time to let down your guard. Now's not the time to get lax or loose. How many's heard the term second wave? I know I'm supposed to close, but we're getting there. We're real close. Well, there'll be another wave come around. It's not another wave. It's the same thing. People relax, and then it spreads to those that haven't had it yet, or whatever, right? So just stay the course. Do what you know to do. Do it for other people. Live for others. Trust God, which is what we're doing. Take God at His word. When sickness does come, and it will, sickness of different types, when sickness comes our way, we take God at His word. And we fight faith's battle, and we come on the other side victorious, don't we? But there's some battles that we don't have to fight, right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You love Him? Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth, Lord, I ask You to forgive me for the chopped up way that what You placed on my heart may have come, but Lord, we're just speaking from our heart this morning, what You placed on our hearts. And Lord, we know it's spiritual food in due season. We know that You promised, Lord, to give us that portion that we have need of. Lord, there's no limit to what we could preach. We're living in such a time, in such an hour, such an age. We're not looking for scraps. We've got meat. So many truths that we could minister on, but it's spiritual food in due season that we're always looking for, and we only know that by Your leading. And Lord, we know that so much of the time, it's the prayers of the saints, it's the prayers of the body that determine what's being preached, because they have needs, and Lord, You're providing what they have need of, and You get all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. It's all You. Father, as we stand here in this time when there's fear on every side, there's worry and questions about there's uncertainty, questions about the future. But at the same time, Lord, for sons and daughters of God, there's a rest. There's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a rest that we can have, knowing, Lord, that as the enemy comes in like a flood, you've raised up a standard. Knowing, Lord, that as a host is raised about us, that we don't have to fear. Knowing that the enemy may come to eat up our flesh. But knowing, Lord, that they'll be thrown backwards as we resist the devil. Father, I pray for each and every one this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if there's anyone that would want to be remembered in prayer this morning. You'd want to lift up your hand and say, Lord, I've got this or that. I've got this certain situation, and I want to drive a stake down in the ground. I want to, there's something that I'm not, either that I once possessed or I haven't taken possession of yet. But I want to, Lord, your word has inspired me and reminded me of the exceeding great and precious promises that you've given to me. And Lord, I want to take back this certain thing, or I want to possess this certain thing. And Lord, I'm committing it into your hands, and I'm going to make the confession this morning, Lord, that it belongs to me, that you've purchased it for me. I'm going to make the claim that has already been made on my behalf. I'm going to line my confession up with what your word says. And then, Lord, I'm going to have confidence that your word has the power to produce that thing in my life. It's not because of my deeds. It's not because I was good or bad. Lord, it's because of what your word has declared. And I want to take you at your word. If that's you, you want to just lift up your hand and be remembered in prayer this morning. Father, you see hands all over the building this morning. Lord, forgive us for living below our privileges as human beings. That's how we are, Lord. But Lord, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the word of God is preached, it inspires us, Lord. It quickens something down on the inside, brings to our remembrance, Lord. And then we're ready to take possession, Lord, of what you've already provided for us. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet every need. Lord, every confession that's going forth from this building this morning, Lord. Everyone that's standing upon your word, Lord, you'll not leave them stranded. You'll not leave them standing, Lord, defeated as a loser. And Lord, they're not standing alone. If you're standing with them, you and them are the majority. But Lord, they're standing on your unfailing words of promise. And Lord, you'll bankrupt heaven before you allow one word to go unfulfilled. So Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged this morning, Lord, that their faith would just be anchored in you this morning. We don't have to know how things are going to work out. We don't have to know the end from the beginning. We don't have to understand anything. All we have to do is take you at your word. And Lord, as they stand this morning and say, Lord, I take you at your word. I believe. Help my unbelief. I confess, Lord. And now I'm here to take back what belongs to me, or I'm here to possess what belongs to me. Lord God, I know that you'll bring it to pass in their life. I pray that they be strengthened, that they be encouraged. I pray that they drive a stake down in the ground. I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't keep it a secret. I pray that they'd testify, Lord. I pray that they begin to speak about it, Lord. That, Lord, you're doing this, or you're doing that, or I'm walking in this, or I'm walking in that. I'm possessing this, or I'm possessing that. Not looking at the seen, but looking at the unseen. Knowing that faith is actually the substance of things that are not seen. Lord God, I pray that you bless each and every one. I pray that you bless their confession. Lord, may there be testimonies that come as well. Lord, we know that these testimonies are encouragement to others. And Lord, you're doing things in people's lives left and right, but these things don't get in the press. These things are not what are talked about so much of the time. Instead, we hear about the negative. We hear about the trial. We hear about the feelings. We hear about how bad things are or sad things are. But Lord, what about the victories? What about the fulfillment of your divine word? What about your promises coming to pass in the lives of sons and daughters of God? May we testify, Lord. And maybe, Lord, through our testimony, maybe it'll be a help to somebody else. Certainly it will. We just go ahead and say that. We know it'll be an encouragement. We know that it'll strengthen, Lord. We know that it's a written epistle being read of all men. We know that it's the word being lived out. And we know that that will inspire faith, that it will inspire hope, and it will encourage others. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? Father, may each and every one of us take a step forward. May each and every one of us come up a step higher. May each and every one of us, Lord, come into more of the fullness of what you've declared about us, Lord, as sons and daughters of God. Father, with your life being reflected in our lives, with your word taking greater and greater possession, Lord, we thank you for the honor this morning of standing for your word. And Lord, like the three Hebrew children, they didn't understand everything, but they said, I know that the Lord God is more than able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, this is what our stand's going to be. Lord, that's what our confession is this morning. Father, sometimes deliverance from something that we're believing for or praying for, sometimes it's passing over to the other side for some that brings that complete and total deliverance. Many other times, Lord, it's something that could happen right away or a week later or a month or whatever. It doesn't matter. Lord, you're not limited by time. But Lord, we want to take you at your word and believe you and confess and see you manifested. Lord, we pray about it. We talk. We say, come amongst us more, and we want to see you and all that. Lord, the greatest way that I know this morning to see you in a greater measure in our life is to take you at your word. Because, Lord, it's you that's accomplished. It's the living word that's accomplishing these things in our lives, and it's testifying of you. And, Lord, it's giving forth praise and glory for your acts of what you're doing in our lives. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? Bless each and every one. We ask these things now in the name above all names, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus.